WEBR Fairfax Radio, you're on the Commons. I'm Sue Bartholomew. And joining us on the Commons today, I'm really pleased, thrilled, delighted, as always, to have the one person I consider the model legislator, and unfortunately I do not live in his state, but I would do anything for him, Julio Rabina. Thank you so much for joining us, Julio.
Always glad to be with you, Sue.
Listen, Julio, you've started something, and you're getting a lot of notice. You even made it in the local papers up here in Northern Virginia, so and that's great. And I'm talking about the pilot program that you started, and we've talked about this in the past, but the last time you were on, nothing had really happened yet. In fact, you told me off the air that it was imminent, and I think a few days later there was something in the papers about arrests being made for embezzling $4 million.
That is correct.
I called you, or I wrote to you, and I said, is this what you were talking about? You said, yes, hang tight, there's more coming.
And there has been.
All right, tell us about it.
Well, first of all, thank you for the opportunity to let your listeners know a little bit more about what we're doing, because I think what we're doing here in Florida will probably become the model for investigating potential fraud, grand theft, as they call it, in homeowners associations or condo associations. And I'll try to explain it in very simple terms. When you live in a homeowner association or a condo association, if you live in a state where you may have a regulatory arm, like we do here in the state of Florida, we have the Department of Business and Professional Regulations, that is where people would lodge complaints with the state that regulates them, that maybe the board is not following Florida statutes, maybe the board is not even following their own bylaws, they may be acting improperly, making mistakes. And a lot of times, like I said, they're mostly errors committed on behalf of the board members. So you can file a complaint, letters are sent to them, they're challenged, and of course, if they continue with the errors, then the next step, of course, may be potential fines. But one thing that we were missing that we've never had was, well, how about if there's criminal intent or criminal situations, felonies, theft, fraud, mismanagement of money, things of that nature? Well, there was really no place you could go. What they used to do here is they would actually just take the report, the state, and refer it to your local state attorney. Well, you know, nothing was being investigated at that level. It's not a priority. And more importantly, if somebody ever called their local police department to report a crime, which stealing the association's money or using it for personal use or a number of other things is still a crime, there really was no local police department that wanted to investigate it. What they told you was, if this is an association, then you must go ahead and file a civil lawsuit. Well, here's what we did in Florida. We started a pilot program here in Miami-Dade County, and it's now got kind of trickling all around. And what we did was we said, well, what if we were to train our local police officers in all the different police departments and have them investigate what you would consider to be probable fraud in association environments? And that's exactly what we did. We came together, our Florida Department of Law Enforcement, which regulates all law enforcement in the state of Florida, the state's ombudsman, which is something that we created to be an element that helps educate people on their rights and helps them with mediation issues and so forth. Our state attorney, local state attorney, and, of course, the department that regulates condos, they all came together, came down here to Dade County, and we trained our local police department's officers, their detectives, on how and what is condo fraud, what is homeowner association fraud, what is the problems, and that they would then go and investigate these type of frauds. Although we're concentrating only, and the pilot program only deals with condominiums at this time, we still have a number of homeowner associations that are also calling their local police departments on these issues. But here's how it simply works.
So what's, now, wait a minute, before you move on, what happens when a homeowners association calls? Are they taking action or not?
They're also looking at any problems that homeowner association, although they technically weren't in the pilot program, they're not being excluded, because what has happened is, although Tallahassee won't screen a complaint, a lot of homeowner associations, what they're doing is if they gather enough evidence on their own, since now the local police departments are educated, they're taking it, and if there's probable cause, they're going to investigate it also, and then they're going to go ahead and work with the state attorney to bring charges. So in other words, if it's cut and dry that there's been fraud committed, that there's been money taken from the budget for personal use or whatever it may be, the police departments are not turning their back on homeowner associations. So I want to make that very clear that they're still available. They can still get the services from the local police department, although this was modeled more for the condo association because it's where we get the majority of our complaints. We get hundreds of condominium associations complaints. You may get maybe 4 or 5 homeowner associations complaints. You know, so you really don't have the bulk.
Is that because most of everything that's being built in the Miami-Dade area is a condominium?
That's absolutely correct.
So, okay, so, all right. So that's
now, we will expand that to homeowner associations, and like I said, transition from one to the other is not a problem because it's still going to involve local police officers that will know what to investigate, what to look forward to, or what to find in order to go ahead and then have the people prosecuted and the charges filed through the state attorney's office. Let me go back to the way this thing would work.
Okay.
Now, if you feel that there has been a crime committed, they have been stealing, then you have this form, which we created to help the citizens. It walks them through what we're requiring of them to go out and do as far as their due diligence, the things that they need to come up with. And they open the form, and it basically asks them for their name, information, the name of the condo association. Have they placed a complaint already through the department that regulates it? What is the accusation? What is it that they feel is going on? And then, of course, it asks for a number of requirements that it's requesting, meaning have you asked or do you have copies of your budget? Have you asked for copies of all expenditures? Do you have anybody that's willing to give a statement that there's been improprieties committed? Do you have videos, recordings, anything that can be used as evidence is being required from these folks to submit them. And then when they have what they feel is enough to now really help the local police departments, Tallahassee, and I keep saying Tallahassee, that's where our capital is, and the ombudsman's office, which is located in Broward County, they're actually looking at whatever is sent, and if they find it's probable cause, then what they do is they refer it right back to the local detectives at that police department, depending in which city you live, and they start investigating. Well, the success has already started to mount. We had one arrest in a county where they didn't even have the pilot program, but they were working along the same lines, and that was in Broward County. We had, I believe, a total of 4 or 5 people arrested. They had currently been charged with stealing up to $4 million. And going. So that was a large amount of money in a condominium complex, which I believe had over 500 units.
Wow, wait a minute. That $4 million from one association?
From one association. It was one building, 502 units, one association. Throughout the years of them being in power, they were up to the tune of almost a little bit over $4 million. And we're in the process of special assessing them for $14 million on a project to retrofit for hurricane windows and so forth on a project that they claim should have been no more than $4 to $5 million. So you can do the math and see what large sums of money they would have probably have pocketed from that particular.
Let me stop you right there. In Florida law, do associations have the power to foreclose to collect a special assessment if it's not paid?
Yes, they can. And that's something that we have tried to work on to put some type of limit on how far they can go, hopefully putting a cap on a limit, because we've had people foreclosed here, Shu, in the state of Florida for under $10. They have foreclosed on their units.
But here we go to this particular condominium association. You say they're being special assessed to the tune of $14 million to do something that in actual fact would cost no more than $4 million. And so if you don't pay, so they're being held hostage.
That is correct.
To a bunch of crooks, and they have the statutory authority to foreclose, to collect money that they're being embezzled of.
That is correct, and that is some of the changes that we keep proposing, because it's almost as if there's a double whammy for the unit owners.
God, double whammy?
Double whammy.
Yeah, it's more than a double whammy.
Well, it's terrible, and this is why, terrible. You know, I've been working on this now for 4 years,
not only
to create these type of fraud investigation programs, but to more importantly change these laws. And you understand that there's a very powerful lobbying corps that every time we go to the Capitol to try to change these laws, it's almost as bad as fighting the insurance lobby. It's a very strong lobby. It's a $32 billion industry in the state of Florida a year. So you can imagine with that kind of money. $32 billion industry is what I'm being told accounts for how much money is spent in association living in the state of Florida.
Just in Florida. Because nationally it was about 20 billion, 40 billion a few years ago. So,
right. Remember, we have the largest concentration of probably condominiums probably anywhere because of our coastal areas and the popularity of building up, as we say, here in the state of Florida. So that's a lot of money that's generated in this environment of homeowner association and condo association.
All right, let's not pussyfoot around. What this lobbying organization is called the Community Associations Institute, also known as CAI. And they have been trying to say that these are all isolated incidents, that, you know, we can't do anything about it. We shouldn't do anything about it because they don't really amount to anything.
So these are not insulated incidents. It's happening all around the state of Florida, from the Florida Keys, if you know Florida, which is the tip, all the way to the Panhandle, which is Jacksonville and Pensacola. We get calls from there all the time. So the problem is happening everywhere in the entire state of Florida. And going back to this pilot program, so you now got these officers investigating, charges are being brought forward. And we had another arrest in Dade County this week, actually the past week. The president of an association was arrested. The president of an association, somebody who was elected and trusted, and that individual has been charged with stealing $50,000, the money he was using for personal use, car tires for his automobile, paying his credit cards, paying his electric bill, paying for his personal meals and expenses. And he was arrested on grand theft. And there's about four or five other cases in the pipeline of larger numbers than $50,000 that are currently under investigation. And we're very thankful that that law enforcement is cooperating with us, and just very glad that everybody worked to put together this pilot program to investigate fraud. What I tell people, I like to use an analogy. This is almost like when Medicare and Medicaid fraud we knew was happening for years, but we never had a fraud division to deal with it. That's what I've done with this. I've gone ahead and created, I guess what you would call the fraud division, using your local police officers, which we pay taxes to have them do this, and not refer us anymore to a civil court. We're using them to investigate these cases. So they're almost like a leg of fraud investigations that you would probably relate to a Medicare or Medicaid fraud division. So we finally have something in the works. It seems to be working very well. And our goal is that hopefully before the end of the year, we will implement this statewide, where every local police department in every county and every city will be trained on this. And if you sit on a board, and God love our volunteers, but if you're stealing, you're going to be investigated and you're going to be prosecuted. And then, of course, goes to the next step, that we will continue to fight you to change these laws on what we call these predatory foreclosures and liens, which come a lot of times because of the situations at hand. And I'll give you another for instance. You know, we have situations in here where some of the fraud issues are they work with contractors, people that may be doing everything from lawn maintenance to plumbers to painters. And they basically ask them to inflate the estimate of what they're submitting so that they agree on a certain amount, and then the rest of it gets paid to the board members or, at times, property management companies that are in cahoots with this kind of stuff going on.
I think that's also time, called the kickback, right?
That's called the kickback. That's the famous kickback that we know about.
All right.
And also CAMS. We've got CAMS that are doing the same thing. So,
oh, yeah.
we're having to deal with the problem in Florida, and we've got an aggressive program going forward to deal with it.
Well, it's not just Florida. I mean, the story, there's a story from Northern Virginia, and in fact, Cougar Management, which is the here's what I'm going to tell you. Cougar Management is being investigated for embezzling $2 million from homeowner associations and condominiums in the Northern Virginia area. They're now back in business under a different name. And the only reason, Julia, the only reason anything was ever done in Virginia because of it is because they had a real estate license and they got them through the real estate board, not because they were stealing from associations. They would get away with it. They would have gotten away with it if they didn't have a real estate license. Now tell me that's not pathetic.
It's just very sad, but it's reality, unfortunately.
It is reality. So I commend you. And I know that this hasn't been easy. You've been trying to get this pilot program going for, what, a couple of years now?
It took 2 years to finally, and a lot of work to finally get it approved. I had to pound a lot of pavement. I had to convince the state attorney's office that this was a big problem, and now they're seeing it. And it's funny, Shu, I just did a program yesterday afternoon on radio with our state attorney, complimenting us and commending me for my tenacious and let's just say my way of being, of not going away and being in their face until they finally agreed to do this. And now they realize, because now that they're hearing or getting back some of the cases, they're realizing that what we've been telling them all along is absolutely correct. It's just ridiculous how much money is being ripped off from these boards. From the budgets of these associations. So she's thrilled, and that's great, because now they're really working hard to bring additional arrests, and that is going to help, you know, kind of curb this element that goes on in here called fraud.
I commend you. I mean, I was really excited when you first came on 2 years ago and you said, here's what I'm proposing, and then it didn't happen, and then you went back again and you've been working on this, and I've been following it, and we've been talking, and you've been on a number of times.
Well, this is, if I may, let me tell you, that's why anybody listening, I think that everyone should do what people like you do, what people like John Bergman do, which is, they will basically call and call and call and email and email and email their local legislators and put pressure on them to do the right thing. And in these cases, I think once they realize it for the first time that they take it on, they'll see the need for it. And I think we become motivated to try to make it happen. And, you know, laws, you may not get it done the first year, but if you continue at it, maybe the second year, the third year, you'll have success. And people are counting on us to do our job. So I think it starts with people like yourselves, the grassroots groups like CCFJ, that will start calling and pressuring these elected officials, but more importantly are also doing outreach to the local person that's never gotten involved in an HOA or a condominium problem, that have basically been apathetic. They're now starting to understand that they need to make some noise. They need to hold their elected officials accountable and tell them this is a bigger problem to us as anything else, as health care, as taxes are, as insurance. And I think that by putting the pressure on their elected officials, there'll be some elected officials that will stand up and start doing what's right. And in this case, they don't have to reinvent the wheel. They can look at what we're doing here in the state of Florida. I look at other states and what they're doing and sometimes model some of the things that they have and try to put them into legislative form here in the state of Florida. And, you know, that's some of the things that we do. For instance, I'll give you an example. We have a big problem, Shu. I'm sure you hear this, that people, when they ask for public records requests, they go to their boards and they want to get copies of something, and they never get it. And all of a sudden, that board is no longer there. Now there's a new board, and, you know, what happened to all the records? They all disappear. Well, I found out from one state that made it a criminal offense that these boards, well, the boards, let me tell you the way it is, the boards must maintain all records for 5 years. So that means if you don't and somebody requests them, and let's say you were a board member 3 years ago, the statute of limitations will be 5 years. If those records are missing, that whole board can be held accountable for not having those records made available for at least 5 years. So that's going to be a criminal penalty, and that's something that we're going to be pushing.
What state is this, Julio?
This was, I believe, it was either out of Arizona or New York. I've been communicating a lot with New York City. They've got a lot of problems, and they've been going back and forth. And with Arizona, we've been hearing some of the comments back. I'm not exactly sure, since I get, thanks to you guys, I get emails from all around the United States now. I know that I really don't keep up with where it was, but what I do is I kind of borrow their ideas, and then I submit them to our state for consideration. Because, again, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. A lot of states have a lot of good laws already in place that we don't have, and I'm just borrowing their ideas and trying to make them law here at the state of Florida.
Well, New York City had some major, major problems about 12 years ago where they went in and cleaned up with the co-ops and the condos. I mean, they cleaned up millions of dollars of fraud and instilled these laws, and then 2 years later they were back doing exactly the same thing. And the reason for that was because there was no adult supervision, as we like
well,
to say.
Well, I think what they didn't have is the enforcement leg.
That's exactly right.
And that is
right.
Why
That's
I would
exactly
tell you,
right.
They did a report in the Wall Street Journal. We were interviewed when we created the Ombudsman's Office. Remember, that was a bill that I worked on for years.
Right.
We finally passed the Ombudsman's Office. And they right. called. They wrote a story, as I said, in the paper, in the Wall Street Journal about it. And I think that they were going to look at modeling something like that in New York City and in probably in New Jersey to try to deal with the problems that they had. So there they were learning from us. But you got to understand that regardless of what we do and how we change these laws, that's why we always have to stay on top of it. Let's just call it the negative element of certain people will find a way to try to circumvent and find loopholes and try to get around it. That's why this is a never-ending job. We create laws and people find ways to get around them. But we need to have that all-important enforcement leg. Because if you have all the laws in the world, we can pass all the laws in the world we want in every state, but if there's not an enforcement leg, then people know, and they know that there's no enforcement, then it's a free-for-all. They're not going to abide by laws. They're going to do whatever they want to. And that's why this pilot program involving local police officers and the state attorney's office is key, so that people start getting the message there's finally enforcement. You break these laws, guess what? We have a group of people now that are going to come out and are going to investigate you. And the greatest thing about it is that the people telling us about it are their own neighbors that are complaining that their own board members or property management companies or CAMs are stealing. So they're going to report themselves, and then we're going to do our job with the enforcement leg that we've created.
I think that's wonderful. Just for you guys out there listening, we are pre-recording this show. It is not live today. Representative Robina just came in from Tallahassee. He's in his office, and when I called, what did you tell me? You couldn't get through to the office because you had people lined up outside the door.
Well, thanks to the media, and we were in every news station, both in Spanish and English and even in Creole. We have all types of different news stations, radio and TV here. The arrests have been publicized, believe me, a lot. And then it made all the local newspapers, Spanish, English, and in all. We have probably 5 or 6 major newspapers that the people read here in South Florida, and they were all publicized in there. Well, what that's created is an onslaught of people where you come into the office, and we had people waiting outside the door, wanting the forms, wanting more information about this fraud program. But they have, for years, been complaining about it, that nothing was done, and they wanted to know what they needed to do to create an investigation. So we've been handing these pamphlets out. We've been mailing some of them all around the county, and the most incredible thing that we're witnessing is the phone calls. You know, we have this latest technology called voicemail, which holds about 40 messages, and as soon as some of the news ran, the voice message filled up within minutes of the story airing. So we basically have been having to work even Saturdays and Sunday mornings to try to return everybody's calls and explaining to them what it's all about, where to get these forms. And by the way, the forms with information, we made it available now at every single police department. These law enforcement officers have been very cooperative. They've all gotten copies of these forms. They have gone ahead and put it in their police departments where people can walk in, they can see the forms on the counter, and some officers carry them in their automobiles. And their
oh, really?
Office, yes.
Oh, they're handing them out.
They're handing them out. So the work has begun on investigation. And remember, the great thing about this is that it is the first time people are not apathetic anymore. They're understanding that we're doing something. We got a lot of bugs in it. You know, there's a lot of people that expect it to happen overnight. You know, these cases can take 2 months, 3 months, a year, but they are finally looking at these potential fraud cases.
Well, when you're sitting there and you're being special assessed to the tune of $14 million and you know that most of that is being stolen, it gets very frustrating because I hear from all over the country. As you know, I mean, my focus has always been the national picture. I got an email just yesterday, you know, I think that there's embezzlement. They're not giving me the, you know, the information I want. What can I do? Can you help me? Where do I go? Where do I turn? And the only place that I know of that has any kind of adult supervision is Florida, and that's not even the entire state yet.
No, nope, and it's in its, as I call it, it's in the infancy stages. We're working on it. We're developing it. But let me share an example on something that has to do with special assessments. This arrest that went on in Broward County, the 502 units, people had complained in the past about the board of directors, which, by the way, it was one of those boards of directors that they just could not recall. They couldn't get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
So we, through legislation that I established, we created an election monitoring process where our old ombudsman, Virgil Rizzo, which did a very good job for us, Virgil helped these people, explained to them, sent down there the election monitors, and they finally, what a miracle, huh? All of a sudden there's election monitors going to these elections, and that board was removed. And now the new group came in. Well, when the new group came in, they started looking at the financials, and they started realizing how bad it really was, how much theft had really taken place throughout the years of that board being in place. But just to tell people what was happening, here it was. This happened because those citizens that live in that condominium, and God love them, they decided that enough was enough. They were going to take control of their own situation. And I think, as they say, the straw that broke the camel's back was when all of a sudden this huge assessment comes out, and somebody decided in that building that we want to know why you're paying, why are you doing this, first of all. Show us some estimates, which, you know, we have a law here that they must have three estimates. And then when the estimates were supposedly given to them, the estimates were so high that somebody in their wisdom in that unit decided to say, you know what, this doesn't sound right. I'm going to call another company on my own, and we're going to find out if they think this is a real number to do this type of work. Well, of course, you know that when they did that, some of the companies came back that said, no, there's no way this thing is so expensive. And then the new board recalled the old board. They got control, and they proved that this was going to be overbilled by the tune of almost $9 million. So you can imagine that you got to do, people have to get up and take control of their communities. And what we're doing here in Florida is I'm trying to create the tools that I can give them to take control. Because at the end of the day, we can create, as I told you, all the laws we want. We can create the enforcement leg, but until people speak up and yell and scream and say, we need you, come help us, here's what it is, the tools will be there for them to be able to take control of their own communities. And more importantly, to go after people that are committing fraud.
And now you all understand exactly why I call him the Energizer Bunny. Julio, you've worked some miracles. You've been cleaning up, basically, in Florida, not just enacting laws, but providing the enforcement mechanism. And as I'm sitting here listening to you during the first half of the show, there are three things that occur to me. There are three things that we always hear about, that the industry, CAI, the attorneys, the management companies, and all the little people out there who just make a lot of money off of homeowners who are in homeowner associations say. Number one, it's an isolated incident. Number two, these associations protect property values. And number three, 96% of all residents in associations according to their latest Zogby poll, which, you know, they interviewed all of 801 people. 96% of the people are very happy, happy, happy. It doesn't sound like that's the case.
So let me explain that. Let me explain that very clearly, because we do our polling and we have numbers that we also request. But let me just say that the bottom line is that if you are lucky enough to currently have an ethical group of people, people that have integrity, people that are not there trying to take a penny, people that are really trying to run that board of directors as volunteers as they are, as they would their own household, then knock on wood and thank God every day that you have those type of people, because if there's integrity and you have that type of person, your association can work well. But again, you know, there's turnover. That's almost like elected officials. They come and go. Well, the same thing will happen with volunteers. What happens, and I always tell everybody here in Florida, that's just a matter of time before another group gets in that may not be that group that has integrity, that may not be those people that you were so trusting before that you'd be willing to hand them over your money and your checkbook. So what happens if that group comes in? All of a sudden, things change. I've heard people say to me, well, we didn't have any problems in here for 10, 15 years, but all of a sudden, these new people became part of the board, and it's been hell.
One election away.
There you go. That's exactly the quote. It's just one election away from hell.
Right.
Because I got to tell you, I don't want to come out and say that everybody on boards of directors are crooks. I don't want to say that every property management is bad. That all depends on the people that serve. And you can have some great people, and you may have some wonderful times. But I know that sooner or later, there's going to be that one group that gets in, or that one person that manipulates the rest of them, or that one property management, or that one CAM, or that one group of lawyers that represents, you know, the associations that may have other motives, which that motive normally is money. It's all about money, the amount of money that circulates in these association environments. And you know what? You will go from heaven to hell overnight.
You certainly will. Well put. We often say you're one election away. So I get people saying, oh, you know, they must have done something wrong to deserve that. Or, yeah, it doesn't happen in my association. So obviously it's really not a problem. But you're right. You're one election away. Because they have so much power. They're so autonomous. And they can pretty much do, and trying to get, for the individual homeowner, trying to get any kind of assistance has been impossible unless you live in Miami-Dade, Florida.
But let me just say, Shu, that people that are listening should be talking to their legislators about doing something like this. Create these fraud programs. They call it a pilot. Try it in one county. Perfect it in your community and try to implement it in all the other states. This is how we learn from each other. And nobody here is taking, you know, ownership of the idea. This is just something that that we all learn from each other, and we should be willing to try it in communities, because not doing anything is unacceptable. The problems are just going to continue to get worse.
But, so, you know, think about it, Julio. It is kind of counterintuitive. When you think about the way government over the last four decades has acted, they've sort of shunted their responsibilities over onto the private sector. They've said, here, you're a private entity. We cannot get involved. It is, you know, it's violative of all this, that, and the other. And what they're trying to do is collect the taxes without providing any services.
Well, if you get a good legislator that's willing to say, but we do pay taxes for our local police department. We pay their salaries.
That's right.
We pay the taxes of that state attorney who will prosecute. We pay for their salaries.
That's right.
You know, these are people that work for us. And you know what? They investigate all other crimes. Well, the last time I checked, stealing money from an association is a crime. It's grand theft. It's fraud. And there's other laws that apply to grand theft and fraud that I'm sure every state has that are very tough laws, and they need to be applied when this type of crime has been committed. So I got to tell you that it's all a matter of who's willing to step up to the plate. And you're right, government has basically pushed these issues aside for years. But, you know, every so often you'll get somebody who gets motivated, like myself. Again, I said earlier during this interview that I never would have taken this on if it weren't for groups like CCFJ and Jan Bergman and the number of people that would call my office, people like yourself that called me and interviewed me and told me that these problems were happening all around in Virginia, and that this was something where you get emails and calls from all around the United States. And you know, Shu, that basically just told me, I guess this is an element that we've neglected for years, which is, you know, association laws. And I love it because, you know, we all find little niches when you're legislators. A lot of them want to take on, you know, issues that have to do with the military. Some want to work on tax issues, may want to talk, some may want to work on insurance issues. And we all do a little of everything, but I've devoted my time to deal with the reforming of association living because you folks brought it to my attention. And it didn't take me very long to find out what a mess it really was, how it was hell to live in these associations. And, you know, I want to leave here with at least people saying, well, at least Representative Rubina took on an initiative and went at it for 8 years, which is how long we're allowed to serve as a legislator here
That's
in Florida.
It?
That's it. 8 years as a member of the House of Representatives. And maybe, you know, if the Senate someday becomes open, I can continue doing work in the Senate. But the bottom line is, you know, I'm only in this because people brought it to my attention. And that's the message I'm trying to send to your listeners is, if you're listening to this, get involved. At the end of the day, you go and you call your elected officials and tell them, look, I vote for you. You want my vote next year? I want you to show me that you've got legislation going to resolve this. If you want me to vote for you and support you next time you run, you better show me that you're creating some type of enforcement leg to deal with this nonsense.
Well,
I think
I know
that's the pressure.
The first time you came on, you had just been through, you know, you had gone around with your, was it the task force?
The task force.
And you had listened to different people, and you told me the first time that you were committed to this.
Well, let's talk about that task force. This is another thing that, since I really didn't know everything in general, like I said, Mr. Bergman and CCFJ had alerted me to this. You had with your shows. What we did was I asked the Speaker of the House to allow me to chair a committee to go all around the state, have hearings all around the state, because since I really don't know the problems firsthand because I don't live in a condominium association environment or a homeowner association environment, thank God. What I did
How'd you escape there, Julio?
Well, I went and had hearings all around the state. You know what we did? We did what government was supposed to do. We listened to the problems. But more importantly, we allowed people to vent and tell us what the problems were. But more importantly, we told them was, well, before you leave and you take your 5 or 10, 15 minutes, whatever time it is you need to tell us what the problem is, do not step away with the podium without giving me an idea of what you have for a solution. Because we didn't want them to be just venting sessions. We wanted people that know what the problem is, and you'd be surprised. Most of the ideas for solutions came from the same people that knew what the problem was.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. I had a list of one side. I wrote down the problem. On another list, I was writing down the comments and possible solutions. It's called common sense. A lot of times when people have a problem, they can tell you what needs to be done to correct it. And a lot of these ideas, which we get credit for because we're the ones that are the elected officials, really came as a result of people telling us what their ideas were. And a lot of this stuff, Shu, was so cut and dry, common sense. It was sad the government had not listened prior to these hearings and started to do something for them. So that's the process that we took on here in the state of Florida.
You know, Julio, even though you took the time and you listened and you talked and you came on the show and, you know, you've never turned me down. You've always been available, and I really appreciate that. But even with all of that, it's been like pulling teeth trying to get things done.
Tell them why. It's because of all the special interests out there, the people that lobby against what we try to do. As I told you, there's a lot of money behind this. I've always said that there's law firms out there that don't want us to make it a perfect environment and do away with all the problems, because when there's problems and turmoil, what do the attorneys do? They bill.
They make money.
Every time somebody complains, the board members call that law firm that represents them and says, we got a complaint, or we got this, or somebody filed a complaint. And those lawyers go to work. They charge them to talk to them on the phone.
Oh, I know that.
So you understand that as long as there is a financial interest in this, there'll be people that will try to keep everything status quo because it's all about money. And that is the sad part about it. But we're not done, Shu. I mean, and we'll continue to do what we can to tackle these groups. I think that we're tiring them out now here in Florida. They realize we're not going anywhere. So that kind of, a lot of them have thrown their hat in the ring and said, Representative Urbina, can we at least sit with you and talk to you about it?
I told them, really?
No, and it's great because as you become a senior member of the legislative body here, you have additional powers that you didn't have before. So they realize that you're going to get to that point and you're basically going to run over them with all their special interest needs. And that's another sweet thing about this process, is that they know that sooner or later they can only fight you for so long. They'll try to weigh you out till you're termed out, but a lot of them realize that normally your last couple of years as a senior member, with or without their support, you're going to get things done. And that's where we're headed in the state of Florida. Shu, another thing that I have before we run out of time, I've got a list of some ideas that we're proposing for our next legislative session.
Okay.
And these came as a result of some more hearings and people constantly sending me this information. So I guess just to give you a little more information of some of the things that we'll pursue, real briefly, I'll run through the whole thing, and if you've got, shouldn't take me more than a minute to go through it.
I will tell
you what we got, and then if you've got any opinions, here's some of the things that we're proposing, is that the official records of an association must be available within that same county that the condominium property is located. Two, associations cannot opt out of the financial reporting requirements for more than two consecutive years. What that means is no more than 2 years opting out of doing the audits of the condominium. And we need that in order to continue with these fraud programs. Three, owners can add items to meeting agendas with a petition of just 20% of the unit owners at least 48 hours before a meeting date so that their issues can be addressed. Four, meeting notices must include the nature, cost, and breakdown of the assessments being discussed. Five, that associations cannot opt out of statutory election procedures. Another one we have is mandate that the bill will secure elections by mandating that all ballot envelopes be placed in a locked or sealed ballot box, prohibiting the opening of the box in advance of election meetings. That's almost the way we do local government elections here, so that those proxies are not tampered with. Professional architect or engineers must be provided by the board to inspect that the condo building is structurally and electrically safe and provide short and long-term maintenance evaluations every 5 years. Nine, religious items at the door of an entrance of a unit may not be prohibited. However, of course, reasonable size restrictions may be implemented by the board. That was a problem we were having here with boards. And even the American flag at one time was removed from somebody's house. The nerve of some of these people. The last couple provisions creating a law basically protecting owners against what they call slap suits. Those are called strategic lawsuits against public participation. I call it the intimidation lawsuits filed by attorneys to try to shut you up if you are basically there and creating a ruckus and want some answers, and I think that needs to be stopped. That's just intimidation. And finally, the proposal being considered is gives condominium owners the right to own a companion animal if the animal is what you call a medically necessary animal, and they have the approval of two licensed doctors in the state of Florida. And one more thing, there was the one, of course, criminalized failure to maintain records and have them readily accessible to unit owners. Records must be maintained for 5 years. So there are some of the ideas that will be going into our bill that we'll file next March 2008, but we start working on them probably as early as September and October. So as you can see, a lot of these ideas are not mine, Shu. These come from groups like CCFJ, people like yourself, people that call me every day with these problems, people from all around the state of Florida, and other places, and here we are compiling them into a piece of legislation. So I wanted to show you it's not rocket science to do what we do. It's just there has to be a commitment and a desire to try to get to the root of these problems.
I really like everything you've got, Julio. I've got a couple of comments. Number one, in terms of owners being able to add items to the agenda, why not insist on having an owners forum at every meeting where the owners can bring up stuff? Because things happen at the last minute, then they'll want to come up with, oh, well, we need reasonable time frames and all of that, playing games. But have an open forum where the owners can bring up issues and make sure that they make it in the minutes.
Not a bad idea, Shu. What I would ask you to do, I know you have access to my email address, is to submit that to me, and I'll gladly put it on our list. And that goes to anybody that's listening today that would like to give us any other ideas. We don't say no to any idea. What we do is we put them on the list, and then we put it into legislation, and we let it go through the process. So if you'd send that an email. Did you have another comment about another issue?
Yeah, I don't think they should be allowed to opt out of having an annual audit. I mean, I think an annual audit is a necessity.
Let me explain to you. We're on the same page. What that means is that here in the state of Florida, believe it or not, they have a statute that allows these associations to opt out year after year if they want, because what they can do is they can basically say that they don't want to spend the money, that they're in good standing. So somebody in their wisdom, many, many years before I came on the scene, allowed these associations to be able to opt out. And what we found out is that this just is another good reason of covering up what's really going on when they continue to opt out year after year. So what we're trying to do is to say you can't go more than 2 years consecutively without opting out, because here's what's happening. Here's the other side of the coin. We probably would have liked to have made it on a year-to-year basis, but for some of the smaller condominiums to do these audits could be in the excess of $10,000 a year to do an audit year after year. What, in the essence of trying to be fair, Drew, we got a lot of calls from the smaller condos that may be 8 units, 10 units, and they're saying, that's a lot of money. If we're okay, at least give us, 1 year not to have to pay it, and we'll prepare for the following year. But then our state attorney and our police officers are investigating it, need to be able to have audits in order to be able to do their job, in a better way, in order to find discrepancy. So we couldn't let it go more than 2 years. I wanted to explain to you how that came about.
Is there any chance that law can be rescinded?
Absolutely. That would be the greatest thing to do, is to rescind it completely.
Because here's what I'm thinking, Julio, and I don't know. I mean, I'd have to do some investigating on this. But if you're an auditor, you're going to come in and you're going to, every 2 years, you're going to audit 2 years' worth of books. It's probably going to cost more in the long run than it is to just do it on an annual basis. And I don't know, maybe that's something that...
I'm not a CPA. I would not know how that goes about. But, I mean, we're all ready to hear from opposing sides on this as soon as we introduce it to you. But that could be an issue. You could be right. It may be where they're having to audit 2 years in a row, and it may be even expensive.
It may cost them the same as it would to do it, on an annual basis. And my last comment is the religious statutes. I think that's a great idea. I would add to that political signs as well, because, as you know, I'm working for a candidate who's running for public office. And she cannot, because she lives in her association, I haven't checked the Virginia laws, but she cannot have her own yard sign in her own yard because the homeowners association says niet.
And that should be, something that I just wrote that one down, because being, one who runs for office, I've actually had to deal with that, where a big community, which are a lot of my strong supporters that want to support me, have been told you cannot put signs in your home in a gated community. At the end of the day, these are still single family homes. So I think that's something that I will personally add this one right here to my sheet here that I have in front of me. But that's a great idea. Should you understand what I'm saying? Look here, in just a couple of minutes, you're able to give me your ideas on what we were proposing, and we're ready to add this. This is so simple, and this is hopefully an example that people are listening to us and seeing how simply and how easily they can do this with their elected officials. And if they don't get them, all they need is a commitment from that elected official, and their staff will take these ideas down and put them in play and get them to file this type of legislation. I hope that people are listening to the show and learning a lesson on how simple it is. People think that what we do is so complicated and hard. It really is as simple as what we've just done. Give me the idea. Let me add it to this list. I send it to Bill Drafting. They create the legislation for me, and now it starts moving to the process, and it becomes debate on whether people like it. If I get the majority of my colleagues to support it, it's on its way to becoming law. It's as simple as that. I'm saying this hoping that the apathy will stop and that people will understand that this can be done. These laws can be changed.
And the reason it's being done right now is because you are a model legislator. And I've said that since day one, and I will continue to say it with my dying breath. You have been a super, super legislator.
Well, thank you, Sue, and I enjoy all your support and everything that you do. There's a lot of people that count on you to become our eyes and ears, because unfortunately, with the intimidation that goes on in these association environments, a lot of times they have to go through you to get to me, because I know they're threatened. And I will tell you, God bless you for what you do, and again, I can't speak highly enough of people like yourself and Jan Bergman and these grassroots people that really get involved with this. It's important.
Well, it's a nice team that we have here, so I'm really appreciative. Julio, I know you've got a million people standing, beating down your door, wanting forms and wanting to tell you about their problems. So I thank you for taking time out and joining us today. And good luck, and keep me posted, and I look forward to having you back again.
Thank you very much, and good luck with the election process there.
Yeah, now we're going to have to make sure we get signs up all over the place.
Thanks again, Sue.
Thanks, Julio. And thanks to all of you for joining us today. On the Commons was produced by OTC Multimedia Productions. We'll see you all next week.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.